This is session number 48 of the Gospel according to John. Today we come to John chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 35. Before we start, I'm going to just give you a brief overview of what we're going to be looking at and what this passage is about. This passage is a key passage in the Word of God to know, to believe, and to understand. In this passage, we're going to see how one comes to Jesus Christ. And coming to Jesus Christ, ultimately, how one comes to faith in Jesus Christ. This is believing in who He is with all your heart. And not just believing facts about who He is, but believing in Him, wanting to be with Him, true to Him. Second thing is we're going to see that faith in Christ, this faith leads to everlasting life and leads to being part of the resurrection of life. Jesus is teaching Jews in the synagogue. The Jews understood the hope of the resurrection. Now, they may not have had a full understanding of it, but they had the hope that one day, if they knew God and were true to God, they would be resurrected unto everlasting life. By the way, in this passage, Jesus is going to say, I will raise him up or it up. We're going to see it four times. And this is actually proof of his deity. Because no man could ever say, I'll be the one raising people up in the last day. But Jesus could say it. He's going to say, I'll raise him up. Okay, the third thing is we're going to see that you cannot come to faith. You cannot come to Jesus on your own. We're going to see in this passage, if you come to Jesus on your own, by yourself, according to your own leading and according to your own desires, if you come just as you are to Jesus, you won't really come to Jesus. You won't stay with Jesus. You won't believe in Jesus. You'll leave Jesus. You can't come to faith on your own. You can't come to Jesus on your own. What we're going to see is the only way to come to Christ truly is the Father must draw you to Christ. This is vital to understand. There's many people over the last 2,000 years who have come to Jesus on their own terms. And they've accepted Jesus on their own terms. But they end up leaving Jesus, and they never really had faith in Jesus because the Father didn't bring them to Jesus. The Father must draw you. And what this passage is going to show us that the Father drawing us, He does this through us hearing from the Father and learning from the Father. That in hearing from the Father and learning from the Father, if we do that, if we humble ourselves, hear His voice, learn from Him, that will draw us ultimately to Jesus Christ. And then what we'll see, the fourth thing, is that if the Father brings you to Christ, if He brings you to Christ, Christ will receive you. Christ will keep you. Christ will never cast you out. Christ will never lose you. You'll belong to Christ. And then, as Jesus already said, He'll raise us up at the last day. Now, Jesus, He keeps reiterating that He came down from heaven. He came down from heaven. It's implying He's not of this earth, and this is a serious problem for the Jews. They're having issues with this. And He's going to show He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but to do the will of the Father. Now, what He's doing is He's proving that He is the bread from heaven. Now, why is He proving that? Well, you have to remember, this passage that we're reading in John 6 Jesus had just fed this multitude bread. He gave them free bread, and they were all filled. And then they hunted Jesus down to the other side of the sea. They found him, they hunted him down, and they're looking for bread. They want bread. They want physical bread to fill their bellies. And then they even asked Jesus earlier, we saw it, they asked Jesus for bread from heaven. Now, they're of course talking about physical bread that will feed them with free meals for the rest of their life. Kind of like the manna. They probably read that story in the Old Testament and thought, wow, that'd be awesome. Wish we could have free meals too. What was the matter with our forefathers murmuring and complaining about this great miracle? Now we're going to see they're going to be of the same spirit as their forefathers. They'll be murmuring and complaining too against the true bread from heaven. So they ask for bread from heaven. Jesus is revealing that he's the true bread from heaven. So then ultimately what Jesus is going to open up is that you got to eat his flesh. You have to drink his blood in order to have eternal life. Now this is strong language, and a lot of people take this physically, literally, like I have to physically eat Jesus' flesh. I got to chew it and swallow it. I got to physically drink his blood. It's got to go down my esophagus, into my stomach, go through my intestines. That's not what he's talking about. It's not physical. He's going to make it very clear if we read this passage. He's speaking metaphorically, but it's also true. It's just true in the spiritual sense. So this is not talking about eating and drinking, quote unquote, Holy Communion. Okay, because there are people who eat and drink Holy Communion every day of their life, and they'll die and go to hell because they never came to Jesus through the Father. The Father never brought them to Christ. They never came to real faith in him. They thought they just had to keep some ritual, and through doing some ritual was making them partake of Christ, and they're confused. This is not what Jesus is talking about. What Jesus is trying to reveal, he's trying to reveal the reality of the Jews' need, and not just the Jews, ultimately this will be for everybody, but remember, he's teaching the Jews, reveal the reality of the Jews' need for the atonement. This is the need for the work of Christ on the cross. Remember earlier in this book, John said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Okay? The lambs had to die, and their blood had to be shed. And then Israel would cook the lamb and eat the lamb. That's what happened for 1500 years up till this point that we're speaking of. That's what they did every year for Passover. So Jesus, remember, he's talking to the Jews in the synagogue. And one of the things we have to understand, the Jews were expecting the conquering king who was going to come and take over the world. Now Jesus is the conquering king, and he will come and take over the world. But in his first coming, he was conquering in a different realm. He wasn't conquering in the physical. He's conquering in the spiritual. He's fighting spiritual wickedness. He's fighting against sin. And he's going to beat sin, and he's going to destroy the works of the devil. He's going to plunder the kingdom of Satan. He's going to break open the dark power of Satan's kingdom. He's stronger than the strong man. Okay? But they're not understanding this. They're not expecting this at all. Remember, the Jews are not expecting the suffering Messiah. They're not expecting the suffering servant. They're expecting the conquering king. They're not expecting the cross. Nobody was expecting the cross. Nobody really understood that. It was prophesied of in the Old Testament, but nobody understood it. It was a mystery that was concealed. Look, if Satan understood the cross, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus. He thought he was killing the Messiah and conquering him. Meanwhile, he was sealing his own fate. So Jesus, when he's talking about eating flesh, drinking blood, he's talking, again, about truly coming to Jesus, the true Messiah, not what you think the Messiah is supposed to be. Truly coming to him humbly and partaking of him, believing in him. And he's talking about partaking of these sufferings. partaking of his atonement, drinking in the faith of his atonement, his blood and what he did. This is in the spirit, and he's going to make it very clear at the end of this passage. His words are not flesh. His words are spirit. We've got to remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So whenever Jesus speaks, he's opening up prophetic truth. So this eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood, we might not get to it in this session, but a lot of people take that literally. The Jews took it literally. That's what offended them, and many of them left. Many of his own disciples walked away from this point and never came back to follow Jesus because they're thinking literal, physical. But Jesus isn't speaking physical. He's speaking spiritual. But that doesn't mean that what he's saying is not true. It's still true. In fact, it's even more true than the physical. Because remember back in John 4, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit is more real than the physical. Jesus Christ said, you got to be born again, back in John 3, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and the flesh profiteth nothing, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, so that's just a quick overview of what we're going to see. This passage is vital. And one thing about this passage is it's going to probably go against a lot of things you may have been taught about salvation. And so now you're going to have a choice. Are you going to believe what you were taught? Are you going to believe what everybody else thinks about salvation? Are you going to follow what everybody else says? Are you going to repeat all the things that you've heard everybody else say? Or are you going to believe what Jesus says? Because right now what we're about to read, these are not my words. These are the words of Jesus Christ. And if you murmur and strive against these words, well, then you might not be a believer. You might be like these lost Jews who are murmuring and striving against his words. So humble yourself and listen to what Christ says. Okay, John 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now I just want to stop there and look at this verse first by itself before we go forward. Because this verse is really going to set the tone for the rest of this passage. This is the first of the eight I ams of the Gospel of John. There's eight different quote-unquote I ams where Jesus says, I am, and then he's, I am something. Okay, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am he. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. And we could go through all of them. This is the first of those I ams. Now, in the Gospel of John, actually 51 times Jesus says, I am. 51 times. He is the I am from the book of Exodus. When Moses talked to God at the burning bush, he says, who am I going to say sent me? And he says, tell him I am sent you. I am that I am. Jesus, 51 times, is going to say, I am. Now, many of those, I am come, you know, I am come to do. I'm not come to do. So a lot of them, it's about what he's doing. But there's eight different ones that are talking about his identity of who he is. Now, in this passage, we're going to get three forms of the bread of life, because this is the first one. I am the bread of life. We'll see in verse 35. And then we'll see in verse 48, he'll say, I am that bread of life. Again, he's just explaining who he is. And then in verse 51, he'll say, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Hallelujah. So we're seeing he's stating clearly, I am the bread of life. It's not manna. It's not bread that's going to go in your physical stomach. It's me. One of the things that's important when you read through John and you read through Christ's doctrine, what he taught, is he's really pointing everybody to himself. Now, ultimately, he's not pointing everybody to just himself. He's ultimately pointing everybody to his Father. And that's why you're going to see he's always bringing the Father in, because ultimately, he's just doing what the Father has told him to do and what the Father has shown him to do. He's not teaching his own doctrine. He's teaching what the Father has taught him to say. But he's pointing people to himself, because their only hope to get to the Father, your only hope to know the true God and be reconciled to the true God, is through Jesus Christ. So his doctrine is focused on Jesus. It's focused on himself. He points people to himself. I am the bread of life. Then what he does is then he opens up your part and how you can get in on him. Because Jesus didn't just come down to just be the bread of life and just show off to everybody and then go back and leave everybody to die in their sins. The whole reason why he came down is so that we could partake of him, that we could become one with him, that we could find faith in him. And through that, we could be saved from our sins and know the Father, be rejoined to the Father and be saved and be given eternal life and have the promise that we would be resurrected in the last day. So he says, I am the bread of life. Now, that's a deity statement. I am. You're going to see this, Jesus. I am. He's not a man. Now, he is a man, but he's not just a man. He's not an angel. No angel can say, I am the bread of life. No angel could say, I am the resurrection and the life. No angel. So angels did come down from heaven to minister to men, but this isn't an angel. This isn't the brother of Lucifer, as some Christian cults teach. No, this is the Word of God, who is God from the beginning. In fact, we could argue from before the beginning. That's why John starts his gospel this way in John 1, because he's showing you this man wasn't just a man. This was the God-man. He's the Son of God himself. I am the bread of life. Now watch two things. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So again, he's summing up this whole passage. I kind of gave you the summaries and the overviews, and those things are important. But really, he's summing it up right here. You got to come to him, and you got to believe on him. Now he's about to explain. He will explain how you come to him, because you can't just come on your own. He'll explain that. But he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36, but I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. Okay, why does he say that? Because these people just came to him. They just hunted him down from the other side of the sea, and they came to Jesus. And he's saying, you've seen me. So they came to him. They saw him. But they don't believe. And so what he's about to prove is, even though you came to me physically, even though you're seeing me physically with your physical eyes, that's not coming to me spiritually. You haven't come to me spiritually. And he's about to prove that. Because if they had truly come to him the right way, then they would believe on him. Because he says, if you come to me, you'll never hunger. If you believe on me, you'll never thirst. And it's implied you're going to do both. You can't just do one and not the other. But what he's also proving is you've come and you see me. You've seen miracles. You even ate my miracle. You tasted physically. You tasted and saw that I was good in my miracle. But you don't believe. Why not? Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's powerful. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So notice, before you can come to Christ, the Father has to give you to Christ. And if you come to Christ that way, if the Father gives you to Christ and you come to Christ, he says, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The reason why he says that is because most of these people are about to walk away from him at the end of his teaching, and they're not going to come back. Now, Jesus himself doesn't cast them out here, but there will come the day Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, when many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? We've done many wonderful works in thy name. And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So he's going to cast them out. They're going to come to him. He's going to cast them out. Why? Because the Father didn't bring them. They're just coming on their own. They're coming as they are, with their own selfish lusts, with their own selfish desires, with their own ideas of what they want Jesus to do for them. There's many people who've come to Jesus and prayed a prayer to accept Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord and Savior. Many people over the last 2,000 years. But the Father didn't bring them to Jesus, and they will die and go to hell, because they came to Jesus on their own terms, with their own evil heart, looking for what Jesus could do for them in this temporary life. They didn't come from the Father. Why? Verse 38, Jesus says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. See, so if you come to Jesus and your desire is to do your own will, if you come to Jesus with the desire to do your own will and have Jesus just kind of fit into your life and bless you with what you want and help you get what you want and help you fulfill your dreams and achieve what you desire, you're not really coming to Jesus. You think you're coming to him, but you're going to be cast out. No, because Jesus, he didn't even come to this earth to do his own will. He came down from heaven to do the will of him that sent me. He came to do the will of his Father. So guess what? The Father's only going to bring people to Jesus who don't want to do their own will, that just want to do the will of him above. I'll show you this, okay? This is what he's explaining. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So remember back in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Praise God, if the Father brings you to the Son, you will be received by the Son. He will not cast you out. And in verse 39, he says, this is the Father's will which hath sent me. A lot of people wonder, what's God's will? Well, here's one of his will. His will is that of all, again, key word, all which he hath given me, all the people, all the souls, all the sheep that the Father gives to Jesus, that I should lose nothing, that he should lose none of those sheep. He's the good shepherd, and that he won't lose any of them. But not only should he not lose any of them, but that he should raise it up again at the last day. This is the promise of the resurrection of life. And it's interesting how he says raise it up. I think the reason why is because he's talking about all of them. And then he talks about them as an it. Because all of them are part of the church of Christ. It, that's his church, his body. So everybody who the Father brings to the Son, Jesus will lose nothing. He'll lose none of them. But he will raise it up, his church, the whole thing. He'll raise it up at the last day. Paul unveiled this in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. The truth that whether people died in Christ and they're in heaven and their bodies in the earth, or whether we're still alive until the day he returns, when he descends from heaven with a shout, until that day, that last day, that last trumpet talks about, that all of us, whether we're in heaven or whether on earth, will be resurrected at that day. Now the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds in the air to meet the Lord in the air. But it's all going to be at the last day. I'll raise it up at the last day. Ephesians 1 talks about in the dispensation of the fullness of times when he'll gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. He's going to gather together into one. That's why he says it. I'll raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me. So now he's going to expound this a little further, because the Father's got to bring you to Jesus. And if the Father brings you to Jesus, Jesus is going to receive you and he won't lose you. Hallelujah. What a promise. And not only will he not lose you, but you're going to be resurrected and be with him in his kingdom. What a promise. But you go, but how do I come to Jesus? You know, how do I know if the Father brings me? Well, verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, these people are seeing Jesus physically. They came to Jesus physically, but they don't believe in him with the heart. Because belief, faith, is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. So that's why physically coming to Jesus, you can physically go forward to an altar and you can physically pray a prayer with your lips. You can physically whatever, go feed the poor, do whatever, whatever, whatever. You can even physically see Jesus. You could even, he could come down and show himself to you and all that. Wow, it's an amazing experience. But that's not what it's about. What he's talking about is spiritually. Whoever spiritually comes to Christ, the Father has to bring you. If the Father brings you to Christ, then you'll finally see Jesus for who he is. He's not talking about physically. He's talking about spiritual sight. There were people for 3.5 years, many people who saw the man Jesus, but they didn't see Jesus. They saw him with their eyes, but they didn't see him. Which is the proof they didn't really see him for who he was, because they didn't believe on him. So that's why Jesus says that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. It's two things. You got to see him for who he is, and you got to believe on him. Now, by the way, it does appear that some of the Jews saw Jesus and realized this is the Messiah, but they wouldn't believe on him. They hated him. They wouldn't humble themselves and trust him. Now again, that sight that they saw, God must have allowed them to see that. So this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Now we're going to see they're struggling with this thing. And they said, is not this Joseph? Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Yeah, you better believe that's a pretty shocking statement. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. See, they're seeing him physically, but they're not believing in him. Why? And he's about to show you. It's because the Father hasn't brought them. Which evidently means they have not humbled themselves under the mighty hand of God. They have not humbled themselves under the Father to hear and learn from the Father. So therefore, they're just running around after their own lusts, running around after their own desires, running around trying to do what they want to do, and they have not stilled themselves before God to allow themselves to hear and learn and grow. So what are they doing? They're doing like most people do. They're judging based on appearance. And they are judging everything they hear based on their knowledge. So instead of humbly drinking in the word of Christ, and even when they don't understand it, and even when it doesn't make sense to them, just go, man, I believe him. I know he's right. He's true. Let me learn from him. Instead, they're judging Jesus' word based on their knowledge. And that's a big mistake. Don't fall into this trap. Many pastors and teachers and preachers do not humbly drink in the words of Christ, but they judge the words of the Bible based on their knowledge, based on what they were taught in their churches growing up, or what they were taught in their denominations, or what they were taught in their seminary. And so they don't humbly drink in the word of Christ. They don't humbly drink in the Bible and say, Lord, teach me. Lord, teach me. Let me be like a little child just learning from you and just drinking from you. Help me grow. Help me to understand what you're saying so I can do your will. That's not what they're doing. They're reading the Bible looking for sermons, looking for messages. In fact, some of them don't even do that. Some of them are just coming up with their own messages and their own sermons that they want to preach to their people to get what they want out of their people. And then they're just going to use the Bible to support their positions. Dangerous. Don't do it. Don't judge the word of Christ based on your knowledge. See, they go, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They're going, we know his father. We know his mother. This is just a regular carpenter boy. No. You don't know his father. Now, yes, you might know his earthly mother. See, this is one of the things about people who are confused and people who won't humble themselves and people who know some Bible truth, maybe even preach Bible truth, maybe even go to church regularly, but they've never really humbled themselves to drink in the word of Christ. One of the things you'll find about them is a lot of times half of what they say is right. We know his father and mother. Well, they know his mother. They got a half right, but they don't know his father. And one of the things about being half right is that means you're half wrong. And one of the things about faith is not based on half truth and half error. You can't have half truth and half error and have faith. The faith of God has to be based on pure truth. You got to believe the truth. Not truth plus error. Listen, the Galatian church, they believed in Jesus. And then people came in and just said, look, it's good to believe in Jesus, but you also need to be circumcised. That's it. They just added one work, circumcision. Believe in Jesus, but you got to also be circumcised. It's the only way you can really enter the covenant. That's the only way you can really become partakers of the promise. You need to be circumcised. Notice, again, a work of the flesh. They're looking at the flesh. They're judging based on the flesh. People read this passage in John 6 and they think you got to eat a little wafer and you got to drink a little cup. That's what we got to do. They're looking at flesh. These people are judging based on flesh. They're looking at Joseph, a man of the flesh, and going, yeah, there's his father. We know him. No, you don't know his father. And so because of their knowledge, they're rejecting the word of Christ. They're murmuring at him. And what he's saying, they're striving with him. And one thing we're seeing is they are the children of their fathers. Their fathers were the murmurers in the desert, who when God dropped down bread from heaven, manna, physical bread, by the way, that fed their physical belly, they murmured against that God. They murmured against that bread. They didn't even like that bread. They eventually wanted their own stuff. They wanted to be back in Egypt. And what did Paul say? He said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Don't murmur against the word of Christ. Don't murmur against God. That's an evil spirit of unbelief. If you don't understand something, keep your mouth shut. Say, God, help me to understand. Help change my heart. Watch out for murmurers. They're murmuring based on their knowledge. And because of their knowledge, which, guess what? What they think they know, they're wrong about. That's why Paul said, knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Look, there's many things that we think we know, But even those things that we think we know, we don't even really know as we ought to know. That's what Paul revealed in 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. It's important. So they think they know who his father is. They don't know who his father is. Don't side with your knowledge over the word of God. Don't lean on your understanding and reject the pure words of God. How is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We're going to end here for this session. But Jesus responds and says, don't murmur among yourselves. Listen, God will tolerate a certain amount of murmuring. He'll tolerate a certain amount of murmuring, but he doesn't tolerate it for long. He'll step in and say, don't murmur anymore. Be quiet and listen. And if you continue to murmur and you continue to fight and you continue to strive, you're going to be cast out. You're going to be driven away and you'll never know the truth. So he says, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. No man can come to me. You can't come to Jesus just as you are. You can't come to Jesus on your own terms. You can't come to Jesus on your own. That's a lie. People have preached for a long time, just come to Jesus just as you are. Come to Jesus right now. Jesus is open 24/7. Anytime you come to Jesus and he's there, you just come and you just pray the prayer, man. You just accept him as your Lord and Savior and boom, it's done. That's a lie. No man can come to Jesus. Except there's only one exception. The only way you can come to Jesus and actually come to faith in Jesus Christ is if the Father who sent Christ, the Father, the true Father from heaven, if the Father draws you to him, the Father has to bring you to Christ. If he brings you, Christ will receive you. If Christ receives you, he'll never cast you out. If Christ receives you, he'll never lose you. If Christ receives you, you'll have everlasting life and he will raise you up at the last day. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me. Remember, you can't come unless the Father brings you. But if the Father brings you, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is John chapter 6, verses 35 through 44. Amen.